Welcome to this Lizzian Events podcast. Today you will be listening to Lisa Davis, and she will be talking about life, how to review life, and how to make your life more interesting and better. She reflects upon the ways that you look upon the past, and the ways that the past influences our future lives. She also offers suggestions of ways to make your life better, more inspiring. Lisa Davis is one of the country's greatest public speakers on the subject of life coaching. Her book, Get a Life, is a bestseller and one of the greatest interest to anybody who enjoys this podcast.
Are you a time traveller? Are you a Whovian, a time lord? Are you spending your time going back to the past? Maybe ruminating over conversations and situations that you found yourself in and spending most of your time there. Maybe you're reminiscing about when you felt you were living your best life. Perhaps you're a time traveller into the future. Maybe you're creating your future in your imagination. Maybe you're thinking about what's to come. Maybe you're fearful about what is ahead. Strange that, isn't it? How much time we can live in the past or the future. Often when I'm running workshops, I ask people to spend just 2 moments with their eyes closed and just notice where they naturally go. What's their default? Are they living in the past? Are they living in the future? Or are they living in the now? Now, some years ago, I wrote a book called Get a Life, the Guidebook. And one of the chapters in that book examines this thought of being a time traveller. And there is a quote from the great late John Lennon, which goes something like, "Life is what happens while you're busy doing other things." And that's what happens when we're time travelling all of the time. Now, don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with looking back to the past and learning from it. Or even reminiscing about that great holiday that you had. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future and going into your creative imagination of the limitless opportunities ahead. But if we spend all of our time there, we are missing life that's happening in the moment now. Now that's interesting. You may be trying to avoid the now. You may be dreaming about the past and the future to avoid being in the now. But here's the thing, you are living your best life right now. For anybody who has read the books Man's Search for Meaning, even put my teeth back in, by Viktor Frankl, they'll know that it's the power of the mind, not the situation or circumstances that you find yourself in, that determines whether you're able to live your best life in this moment. Now, a lot of work that I do with both therapeutic clients and leaders out in the business world just examines what causes us to think in different ways, what causes us to behave in certain ways. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. A little bit of psychology, if you like, a little bit of understanding how we tick as human beings and whether we choose, and I am using that word, choose to live our best life in this moment. Now, I believe there are 2 base emotions. There's love and there is fear. All other emotions emanate from these 2. So if we are fearful, if we're fearful of what's ahead, that affects us in this moment. If we're fearful of the choices that we made in the past, that affects us in this moment. If you're a time traveller that goes back into the past ruminating over conversations and situations that you've found yourself in, wishing they could be different, hey, guess what? The subconscious mind doesn't know that it's not happening right now. And so we'll recall and reenact all of the emotions you had at that time, which means the art of living in the moment is tainted with those past experiences. If, however, we come from the base emotion of love, that's a very different approach and a very different feeling. But let's just start to understand what might cause us to work out of love or fear. Well, it all starts when we're very young from our conditioning. So the bottom layer, if you think of it like a pyramid or a triangle, the bottom layer is our conditioning. So what do I mean by our conditioning? Well, from the moment we're switched on when we're born, we are receiving information that is forming us into who we are. We're conditioned, first of all, by our parents or caregivers, then our friends, our school colleagues, our teachers, maybe the media, maybe our culture, our religion. All of these things are forming us into who we are, and they can be helpful or unhelpful. Let me give you an example. Some of you may have a fear of spiders. Let's see how that might have played out. Well, I'm going to take Ian as an example. I want you to imagine Ian Timothy as a little boy in short trousers, and he's about 2 years old, and it's bath time at Ian's house, and his loving, caring mummy is going to just, you know, swish all the water, check the temperature. I don't know why you put your elbow in, because there's certainly a difference in the elbow to the inside of your thighs. Pop in the Mr. Matey in there. I don't know what Mr. Matey's doing. He lives at number 67, but anyway. So you imagine the scene. Mum's making this nice bubbly bath for little Ian. There he is, ready to get into the bath, and this loving, caring, cuddly mother who protects him every day, out the corner of her eye, what does she see? She sees a spider. Off comes the skull, and she's beating this spider with an inch of its life. This wonderful, cuddly, loving mother has turned into some sort of crazed banshee over a spider. So Ian looks at the spider and thinks, my word, those things must eat you. But he's a little bit older now. He's a little bit older. And he's just getting out of short trousers. And he's not out of nappies now. And his dad's bought him the two-step stool. The two-step stool that can just allow him to reach the right height for the toilet. And so he's a big boy now. He can do this on his own. So up he gets, one step, two step, just about to do the business. And out the corner of his eye, little spider comes. He's now panicked. You can imagine the scene. And he gets into trouble. The next stage is, he is now a young man, international man of mystery. He's out on the town, you know, strutting his stuff at the discotheque, at the nightclub. And he catches the sight of the most gorgeous woman. It's Liz. He catches her eye across the dance floor. That's it. He's in love at first sight. They while the evening away dancing, and then it's back to Ian's place, where he gets out the bottle of Lambrini, puts on the silk kimono, and that's it. It's time to do his duty. Out the corner of his eye, he sees a little spider. Job done. Forget it. Moment over. So you can see how he might have formed a fear of spiders that stayed with him all his life. Let's take a more serious note. Imagine that you're a small child, probably 5 or 6. You're sitting on the sofa with mum at home, and it is the 11th of September 2001. Now, we all know what happened on that day. It's a very serious day. Now, how many times do you think a little boy or little girl sitting on the sofa sees planes crash that day? Well, you could say 3 or 4. But in actual fact, that little person probably saw thousands of planes crash that day, as it was repeated over and over and over on every news channel. So you can imagine, as that child grows up, and mum and dad said, oh, we're off to Disneyland, that requires getting on an aeroplane. They're not going to get on that aeroplane very easily, are they? And they formed a fear of flying. It can work, of course. We can have positive conditioning that really forms in who we are. You know, my dad always said to me, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And so we can have positive or more limiting conditioning going on. So that then forms part of our basis of who we become. It starts to form our beliefs, and those beliefs can be empowering or they can be limiting. So I would say I'm not very good at maths, and that comes from conditioning I got at school. When I went to school, in the first few days of being at school, we did a maths test. And when I came out to the school gates, my mum met me. She said, "What have you done today, Lisa?" "Well, we played in the sandpit and we played at playtime. We did a bit of kiss chase, not quite sure about that. And then we did a maths test." And she said, "A maths test, Lisa?" "Yes, we did a maths test." "Well, how did you do?" "Well, I got 5, Mum, I got 5. And of course, she's living in an adult world. So what she wants, some context. 5 out of how many, Lisa? "Out of 20, Mum, out of 20. "Oh, well, you're not very good at maths. You're much better at drawing." As I get home, same conversation with my dad. "How did you do, Lisa?" 5 out of how many? "Oh, 20, Dad." "Oh, well, you're a bit like me. You're not very good at maths, but you're much better at drawing." I've got this badge now that says I'm not very good at maths. By the time I'm actually in the workplace and I'm in management and I'm given a profit and loss report to look at, what's immediately going through my head? "I'm not very good at maths. I've got this badge. It's almost like a tattoo now. I'm not very good at maths. I'm much better at drawing." So we can see how this conditioning leads to our beliefs. Now, we can challenge those beliefs, of course. They're not true. This is the great thing, as I said earlier. Our subconscious mind will believe anything because it doesn't differentiate between fact and fiction. But I can hold that belief that can hold me back throughout my life that I'm not very good at maths. Is that true? Is that true anymore? The 5 or 6-year-old Lisa taking a maths test for the very first time, well, maybe I was learning then. It doesn't mean to say that I'm not very good at maths today. So when we get to that belief stage, we can have those empowering beliefs that make us believe we can achieve, and those disempowering beliefs, those limiting beliefs that keep us small. This is also where we store all of our values, which of course are really positive. And our values are the filter through which we live our life. They're our own moral compass, if you like. They take us towards what's right for us and away from what's not. Our beliefs then form our attitude. So how does that work? So imagine if you went to an event like the one I'm at today, and you had a treatment and you thought, "Oh, that was brilliant, really enjoyed that reflexology, it was absolutely fantastic." The next time you have the opportunity to have reflexology, you're going to say, "Oh, what was that like last time? What's my belief about reflexology?" "Well, it was absolutely fantastic last time. I felt on top of the world and as light as air when I had that treatment." And therefore, your attitude towards it is going to be positive. It's going to be, "I want to have more reflexology." If, however, you had a bad experience, any bad experience, and you're faced with a similar situation in the future, what are you going to do? Your attitude towards it is going to be, "Oh, it wasn't very nice last time. I'm not going to go there again." And then that means that you don't want to do something, or maybe you have to do something. And on that note, what are the have-tos in life? Well, some people might say, "Well, you have to go to work." Do you? "I have to pay my taxes." Well, you don't have to pay your taxes. There's a consequence to that, of course, but you don't have to. The only have-tos in life are, ultimately, at the end of it, we have to, you know, emigrate to heaven. Everything else is optional. Everything else, we have a choice. Now, of course, the consequences through life to every choice we make, but ultimately, that's the only thing we really don't have a choice about. So if we think about our attitudes, what happens after our attitude then? That's almost like the way that we think about something. So the way that we think about something forms our free-flowing emotions. So we have a thought and we attach a feeling and emotion to that thought. And that feeling can be good, or it can be bad. Now, remember earlier I was saying if we spend a lot of our time in the past ruminating about things that maybe haven't gone in the way that we wanted them to go, what do you think that's going to do in terms of our free-flowing behaviour, which is the next stage? We're probably going to avoid. We're probably going to stay stuck. We're probably going to be slovenly towards moving forward in our life. If we've had good conditioning about something, we have strong beliefs, the can-do attitude, our emotions are more likely to be positive, can-do, and therefore our free-flowing behaviour is going to be more helpful to us. But we can choose. We can choose. Now, it might be that your conditioning is a little bit difficult to just choose on your own, and that's where you might need intervention from one of the great therapists here at the show. Somebody who can help you to unpick some of that conditioning and really question, is that still true? Even our beliefs may need some reshaping. But in the words of one of my previous mentors, the great Art Geiser from America, teacher of neuro-linguistic programming and energetic NLP, which is a more spiritual branch of neuro-linguistic programming. One of the things that I learned from him in my training was belief du jour, belief du jour. He said that he adopted belief du jour. And when he explained what that meant to him, I thought, yeah, that's really good. What he said was, everything that I have experienced up until this moment right now forms my beliefs. And that is what I believe in this moment. Everything that I've experienced, seen, and had a lived experience of forms my belief until this very moment. But in the next moment, I might take in new information that changes that belief. And next week, there might be something new to add to that, which again, changes my belief. And I really like this idea of belief du jour, that it's not fixed, it's not immovable, that we have a choice to change. That it's flexible with the new information, new learning, and new experiences that come into our life if we are open to allowing those beliefs to evolve and adapt over time. So, I like to adopt belief du jour. And maybe by questioning some of the old beliefs that maybe are limiting you, it allows you to shift in your perspective, to change your thinking or your attitude towards this now moment, to attach good feelings and emotions that allow free flow and behaviour that allows you to really live your best life in this moment. So, where are you on that scale? Are you living your best life? Are you making the choice in this moment to live your best life? Because here's the thing, there's another moment gone. And another moment gone. And another moment gone. How many moments are you going to let pass you by without choosing? Who's doing the choosing for you? Now there's another thing to ponder. Who is choosing how you spend your valuable life moments? Now you might say you. Or actually, do you say, well, it's the circumstances I'm in. You know, when I've got a bit more money, when I've changed job, when I've bought a house, when I've got married, when I've got divorced, when the children are off hand, that you're constantly putting off the now moment in order to make the choice about living your best life right now. This moment is all we have. We never know what the next moment's going to bring. So wouldn't it be sort of worthwhile living your best moment right now? Regardless of circumstances. Here's another way of looking at it. It's an inside job. Regardless of the outer circumstances, regardless of the situations that you might find yourself in, no money, lots of money, health, no health, marriage, no marriage, children, no children, regardless of the outside circumstances, it's an inside job. You can choose your response. You can choose your response, which is where the word responsibility comes from. You have the ability to choose your response on the inside. Here's another thing to consider. If you look around you, if you look around your environment, your situation, and your relationships, And it's not quite how you would like it to be in terms of living your best life. Well, the outside world is a projection of the inside world. It's like, if you like, it's like being at the cinema and you are the projector of your life out onto the outer screen, which is your experience of the world. So if what you're seeing on your big screen is not the script you would like to be running, how can you change it? How can you change that script on the inside so that what you're projecting to the outside world changes? It's all right. Tim's just put me off then by smiling at me. So what are you projecting to the outside world? And is it that you are dreaming up? Are you being the script writer and the editor and the director of your best life in this moment?
Thank you for listening to this Lizzian Events podcast. You can catch up with many of our inspirational speakers at the many events that we produce at the Staffordshire, Newark and Lincolnshire showgrounds. Please review www.lizzianevents.org for further information. Lizzian Events news contains over 1,700 different articles about many aspects of well-being. If you feel that you would like to contribute to Lizzian Events news by either being part of a podcast or a guest on a Lizzian Events Live, please use the contact form available on www.lizzianevents.org. Thank you for listening.